Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite TV after show begins, we want to let you know about my new show on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109. It's called Conversations with Maria, and it's live Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Go to conversationswithmaria.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Do you really think that what you're doing is right? And you're just like, do you really think what I'm doing is right?
Do you guys know who's joining me right now here at AfterBuzz TV? We're talking about Supernatural, obviously, because I have Elena Huffman and Lisa Barry with me today. Surprise!
Ta-da!
Yay! Today we're talking about Supernatural, Episode 11, Season 11, Into the Mystic. I'm Lindsay Wagner. You guys can follow me on Twitter. Make sure you're using the hashtag ABTV Supernatural so you can join in the conversation. YouTube, iTunes, SoundCloud, all things social media. Miss Elena Huffman, where can they find you on Twitter? So they can tweet you right now because they're so excited you're here.
Tweet me, at Elena Huffman. It's very original.
And Lisa Barry, where can they find you to talk to you?
_ Lisa Barry.
We have...
not original.
Abaddon and Billy the Reaper here in the studio today. Ladies, first off, give me your favorite part of working on Supernatural.
Working on the physical show, I mean, it's so fun, but my favorite part overall is the community that has been built around the show, and including the fans. It's worldwide. It's so connective. It's beautiful. I mean, we've made great friends. Like, we just went on a hike this morning and meditated. And, like, I wouldn't have known her otherwise.
No, the Supernatural family is real, and they're fantastic. I'm going to just say my favorite moment is actually getting to give a hug to Jared Jensen.
Because you were a fan of the show before being on it.
I'm a huge, massive fan of the show. And so I had to have a little session where I was just like, I'm going to be annoying and that girl for about 5 minutes, and then I'll get to work.
You fangirled?
Totally fangirled.
Yeah. Well, he's a good one to fan. I mean, they all are. But, but Jared's a really good hugger.
A good hugger? Is it because he's just so, like, big
yeah.
and, like...
Yep.
Like, he gives you the hug that you're like, yeah, my ribs are going to pop.
And I like
and
it.
And you like it.
And you like it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You're like, I can't breathe because you're huge. But, yeah.
You know, that's what we actually have heard as we've interviewed guests over the past couple years. We've had Matt Cohen in here. You guys are very good friends with Ruth Connell.
Yeah. Love her. I was with Ruth last night.
Yeah, Travis Wade. They've all come in and they all say the same thing. They all say the community of the fans and all the people working on the show just kind of bond together and you guys become family. Mm-hmm. And everyone is super welcoming.
It's real. Like, we literally, like, we text each other. We go for hikes together. We go out for drinks. Rich calls it lightning in a bottle. And that's exactly what it is.
And you both met doing the show.
Yeah. I came out. Ruth invited me to the Pasadena Con, and that's where I got to kind of pretty much meet everybody. So, okay, again, a moment where I was like, oh, my God, I'm doing it. Everybody, this is so fantastic. Oh, my God. Okay, I'm back and I'm normal. I'm normal again. I'm a human
By the way,
being.
You always seem super normal.
I was like, fantastic.
Yeah, good.
Best acting of my life.
Ever.
That I wasn't losing it just being around everybody from the show. But it was really great. Like, the community is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, everybody was just so welcoming and just like, hey, come on in. And, like, the producers are fantastic and the directors are great and the cast are so great. Like, across the board. I mean, we've both done a lot of shows, and I can speak for myself when I say I'm like, it is the best show I've ever worked on.
Aww.
In terms of community like that, because it's unlike anything I've ever been on. Unlike anything.
Well, and I will say, I mean, it's definitely, I always feel like a movie is, the tone is set by the director.
Mm.
The director's at the helm, and they sort of dictate the energy. And in a TV series, because the directors switch out and the producers are on and off of set and everything, it's really set by your number one and number two. And in this case, it's Jared and Jensen. And I know I've had this conversation with Jensen before where they, Eric Kripke sat down with them, like, season one. And he was like, look, we can write all of this brotherly love and community and you know, connection. If you guys don't get along, it's not going to work. And so they've made a conscious effort to get along. And that... it spreads. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's rare.
It seems like they're brothers in real life. But they're both so supportive. I mean, and granted, you're going to be supportive of the people you work with and considering working together for now 11 seasons.
Not always.
That's a hope. Always, that's a wonderful hope. That's like, I want peace on earth.
Yeah.
And it, but it happened with them. Where
be the change.
They are the change. Be
the change. They are the change that they wanted to see. And that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I'm sure, you know, like, listen, it's not without its flaws. I don't know the flaws, but I'm, you know,
yeah.
I just had to throw a negative in there. I don't know why. No, it's real.
I'm sure they get a pimple like everybody else. I'm sure.
No. I don't think they do.
I don't think they do. I've seen them in the morning in the makeup chair.
Yeah. I know. You're like,
you should come in 2 hours after me. This is
not fair.
Right? Anywho.
Well, I want to talk to you ladies about your Twitter handles, about names, and all the things we were talking about before we even started the show. But we do have to talk a little bit about the episode. So if you guys, if we kind of are jumping through things, it's because we want to hear more about what they're up to. Awesome. As you can see, like, the little Twitter feed, everyone's so excited that you're here.
Hi.
They're all freaking out, which I am too.
And they're all, like, talking to each other. This is great.
I love it.
It's literally such a good...
Is Billy a man or a woman? I love that question. I think Billy is completely androgynous. I think she's an energy and she's an entity and she's been around for a very, very, very long time.
Last week they were talking, saying you might be God.
You know, I think that one to me, like, as a fan, so I'm stepping out of actor world here and I'm jumping into fan with everybody else here. And that one to me seems a little like, huh? Okay.
It could be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that one feels like a stretch to me, but I have no idea. I don't know where, I have no idea where they're going to take
Billy. I kind of like that.
But I dig it.
Yeah,
exactly.
100% dig it.
That you can think one thing and they're going to totally push you the opposite way. So no matter what you're thinking, it never pans out to what you truly believe is going to happen. Just like last week, Ruth getting killed, I literally sent her a photo of myself.
Yeah.
Like this, because I go, they just killed you.
Yeah.
I can't even handle it right now.
I was like that when Felicia Day went out, too. I was like, ugh.
All the female deaths.
Like, you know.
Now, you ladies can answer this better than I can, but I always make note that the females seem to get killed off, where the gentlemen
let's not predict that. Billy.
I don't want that to happen to you.
I'm still alive.
The Reapers stick around. I mean, didn't...
But they don't. My boss,
Lindsay...
But see, I'd love to be the new death. I'd love to get that promotion.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But, Death got taken out, right? Like,
yeah, and Death
and
got taken,
well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Death got
yeah,
taken out well. That
one.
Was a good one. Your death was crazy. I was hoping there'd be
a... Which lot.
One?
Well, yeah. The final one. The final, like, major action
my
sequence.
My demise?
Yes.
My favorite line on the show, just for your reference, was in an episode. I said, it's just little old unkillable me. And I'm like, can I swear? They killed me. I joke that they should keep me around for therapy purposes and, like, chop my head off and call me bad names and light me on fire and shoot me in the face. And what else did they do to me? Stab me in the back?
100%.
I really wanted
a hand.
Crowley and Abaddon ruling hell together.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That was what I predicted a while back. I really hoped that would happen.
Honestly, on a serious note, I felt like there was more development for my character. I felt like there was a lot more stories to tell, and I do think she ended too soon.
Spit off!
Yeah, right? Give it. Bring it. I also think, because I had the pleasure of playing both characters, I feel like the more interesting character is Josie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're going with this, you know, women empowerment, which is a big part of the fandom, and they are a lot of times upset about the women dying and things. I think Misha said it once where he said, you know, ultimately the show is about two brothers. So it's not, I don't think, and I don't know what goes on in the writer's room. I don't think it's, you know, purposefully misogynistic. I just think that the show is not about the other characters. It's about the brothers at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, hey, any show you watch, like, whenever, like, I don't know, even Scandal. It's like, I watch that show, and you're like, when we're not talking about the scandal, I'm kind of like, what are we, what's happening?
Well, there's popcorn and wine.
Exactly.
And sex on the president's desk.
Yeah, but that's still Scandal.
It's very scandalous.
It's all scandal.
Very scandalous, yeah. But when we're like,
popcorn
so
and
now?
Wine is a little scandalous, too.
A little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Well,
it's unconventional, really.
Yeah, well, it's just kind of scandalous.
This episode today took place in Ireland, starts off 30 years ago. We see Patrick, Moira, and a baby, and he's trying to keep the baby quiet with "Tonight You're Mine," and he starts hearing screams, and we find out that there's going to be some sort of demonic possession happening in this episode. Shocker. Banging his head against the wall. Blood's coming from his eyes. The woman actually, like, Moira starts this spell that actually scares the demon away. The baby ends up living, but we see blood coming from the ears. We know this is all going to come back into play. We get back to Sam, who is now having a nightmare with Lucifer saying, "You're going to watch the people you love die." Because Lucifer, as I called him last week, is now Cassifer.
I like that.
I like that. I do like that one.
He's Cassifer because he's,
and by the way,
still Cass, but he's not.
Misha killed that, too.
Yeah, so right? good.
When he, like, walked in there, I was like, whoa, that's Mark.
Yeah. Totally different voice, different mannerisms. Yeah. Everything went straight to Mark. Exactly, went straight to Mark.
Yeah,
and I interviewed Misha at BurCon 2 years ago and was still very, you know, Cass, but Misha. This is, I feel like, a totally different human.
Yeah.
Mm,
yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's just knocked it out of the park. Dean suggests they take a little case in Oak Park, and Sam mentions that he's worried about Cass. Well, Cass is in a park being tracked by an angel. Mm-hmm. His only hope is to beat the darkness, and then snaps his fingers and literally pulverizes. I don't even know how to say it. Makes him explode, I guess, is the best way to say it.
I love it when that happens, though.
When you just, and like the blood, I feel like I'm watching Dexter then.
And then just implode.
It just implodes. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Can we just, by the way, segue the darkness? Wow.
Yeah.
Right?
Let's talk a little bit about Amara.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And just the reminder at the beginning of this episode of her and Dean's connection.
Oh, yeah.
Connection. I'm making quotes.
Did you...
Connection.
Let me ask you, ladies. Did you like, or how did you feel when they kissed?
Loved it.
Loved it.
Sexy.
It felt dirty to watch a little bit, but it was sexy.
I'm always like, you go, girl. Yeah. Whoever gets to get a makeup session with any one of those two boys, you're just like, well done. Did you get that written into your contract? Well done.
And I mean, it would have been hard to resist. She's got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, 100%.
She's a beautiful woman.
It may have been me I'm just saying.
If it didn't happen, I would have asked
Yeah, you'd have been like, what's wrong with
you?
I
feel like we have a connection.
Yeah.
I'm making more quotes. And I feel like we should act on this. It's not scripted, but we should definitely
discuss this.
Yeah.
And by discuss, I mean not talk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. No, I love the segue. That was totally a perfect segue because then I can get your opinion on the fact that their kiss was just
hot.
Insane. And
I'm one of those women who, you know, will watch a scene with like a really hot actor and actress and just be like, please, dish. How was it? How was it?
Because just for everyone's information, it's not always great.
Sometimes it's not.
Yeah. Sometimes it's weird. Sometimes there can be like a connection and an attraction, but like you're friends. You know, and it's like you're at work. This is how I compare it. You're at work and like you're all in the break room and you're like talking around the water cooler. And then there's like 200 people there because that's like a film crew. And then all of a sudden it gets really quiet and they're like, hey, you two, kiss.
Yeah.
And you're like, but we were just talking about hockey. And
yeah. And that's my husband and my kids and his
daughter and
are all going to see this and go, why is mommy kissing?
Yeah, and
the
looking
guy?
Like she's really enjoying it too. Daddy, are you okay with this? Let's have a conversation. Family talk. It's very awkward to have that kid talk with
kids.
But
we're professionals.
Yes. And sometimes it's just not fun. I've had to do that.
It's true.
Where I was like, this is work.
This is work.
Work and it's awkward and you can't wait till it's over.
But I always say thank you to any guy who kisses me and doesn't make me feel like the worst thing he had to do in his day was make out with me. So I always appreciate a little.
It's definitely
like,
not a bad day when he has to kiss me. We'll just say that.
Insecurities come up for sure. So I do enjoy watching it and then just making all my judgments.
I love that. Okay. I was going to tell her. I'm not going to do that. Okay, go on.
I want to hear a story now.
It's not. It has nothing to do with me. I think it was an interview with Eva Mendes, and she was talking about a kissing scene she had with Will Smith. And she was like, I get really nervous, and so I eat. And she's like, I was eating this sandwich. I had, like, onions and potato chips. And he walked by, and he was like, are you kidding me? I have to kiss you. This is a funny thing because that we kind of get in our heads about it.
Yeah.
Well, you have, yeah, you'd have to prep. I mean, gum, water, lemon, yeah, all the things.
Listerine mint strips.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
I'm a
right
Listerine
before
mint
you do
strip.
It.
Yeah. But those like are in almost like, every makeup bag.
But like a good like 20 minutes before, so you're not having the Listerine kiss, right? Like you just want to have the, this isn't going to be bad for either one
yeah,
of us
yeah.
kiss.
I'm perfect.
Yeah. We don't
I love
have to have
like
that.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the same thing, the same rules apply for dates. 100%.
Yeah. The Listerine strip before you.
Like they advertise it like that. It's like, ooh, we're going in for that kiss. Hold on 1 second. Let me just pop a piece of gum. No.
You guys are all learning very, very valuable information here to use for future dates and all of that.
And when you're kissing someone on camera.
And when you're kissing someone on camera.
Yeah. Have the gum 20 minutes before.
Try and pretend that you enjoy it.
Yeah.
All right. So we're at the Oak Park Retirement Home. Harold has been killed. He has banged his head against a fireplace. Blood everywhere. Arthur, the manager, is talking about it. Mildred walks in, which right away I spotted. I'm like, Dee Wallace! Cujo.
Oh.
It's one of my favorite, like, scary movies that still, to this day, terrifies me. Mm. Have you seen Cujo?
Mm-mm.
Either of you?
Back in the day. Back in the day.
It's about this rabid dog that attacks them in, like, a little VW bug and, like, literally breaks windows and the car is, like, stuck on this farm, and it's 105 degrees outside, and it's this mom and her son, and she plays the mom. It's really scary. You may not want to watch it.
Okay.
It's a little scary.
Yeah. So she was younger.
She was, yes. Much, much younger. She still looks darn good.
Yeah, of course.
For her age. They're checking the room. Harold did have enemies, we find out. He was stealing the residents Viagra.
They always do.
Stealing the Viagra.
When you need it.
Stealing the pension checks. From Jake, they make typical Sam and Dean fashion. They're digging up Jake's bones or digging up the grave to get to Jake's bones to burn the bones. And Sam makes this comment about Dean wanting to go down in a blaze of glory. And Dean actually comments back, well, more like a candle in the wind.
Mm.
Which rarely do we get to see a little bit of a softer side of Dean, but just beautiful moments
it's
right there. They do burn Jake's bones. The next thing we see is Arthur hearing screams. All of a sudden, the demon is now feeding on his head. This demonic possession is literally just taking over the nursing home, which they find out is seeking, this demonic possession seeks vulnerable souls or vulnerable people. Mm-hmm. And it takes all the people out in one area.
Mm.
Which was very interesting. And they bring in Marlene, who is actually a deaf maid, and she hasn't seen or heard anything, but she seems a little suspicious of Sam and Dean. And I mention her because it was, her name was, I wrote it down somewhere, Shoshana Stern. She's actually worked on a lot of stuff, Weeds and Jericho, and she was just fabulous to watch, and I love them bringing her in and continuing with sign language and Sam doing the thank you and her doing something back and forth with Dee Wallace throughout the episode. I just thought I love when that happens and you bring in somebody that it just, it makes it more normal and acceptable, and I think the world needs to be more accepting of any sort of disability, because it's not a disability. They don't see it as that. And just, I love when Supernatural just flipping knocks it out of the park with being flipping awesome.
Right.
So they are banshees. Malevolent banshees. Have we seen banshees before?
No, I don't think we have.
I didn't think
we had. I don't recall. I just recently watched the series again. Full confession. And I don't recall.
I restarted it
you
from the beginning.
You tell us. Let's look.
Yeah.
Banshees?
Were there banshees? I don't think so. Sorry, guys, we are trying to keep track up there and see you guys, what you're writing.
We love that there was a deaf character on the show, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we love that, too. Absolutely.
Awesome. So we find out that the Gold Blade will kill the Banshee, and Cassifer is now in the bunker.
Cassifer.
He's looking for a spell to draw Amara out, and Dean admits that he has struck out on two chances to kill Amara. And
probably because he was a little preoccupied.
Well, and he mentioned it to Cassifer.
Oh,
and he mentions
damage.
It to Cassifer. And
who he doesn't know is Cassifer.
And also mentions that there is a weird attraction to her.
I'm making quotes again. Connection.
Connection.
I'm just saying.
Because they had been connected.
I'm just saying.
And Dean isn't sure if he could resist her.
Yeah, well, she's
it's hard to resist.
He did
know.
Try
those cheekbones.
Yeah. He did try and kill her.
Not.
So I mean,
he did try.
He did try. I'm not going to say that he fully wasn't actually trying to make an effort to kill her. He did try. It didn't work.
Right.
But he did make an effort. It wasn't like he was completely thwarted by her charms.
No, he definitely had.
I mean, he took
a
minute before he tried the blade.
But that's because she saved him.
Touche.
Okay, she put in the work. She earned his respect.
She put in the work.
She did.
There's the true lesson of the story there,
okay.
Everybody.
She was like, you will respect me, man.
And you will love me. We're connected.
You gave me a mark. You will be obsessed with me.
Yeah.
Till the end of time.
Yeah.
All right. So Mildred and Sam, they think she could be next because she's vulnerable. She has a little bit of a heart issue. She does recognize the monster. And she mentions that Marlene is actually on vacation and there is no deaf worker there, because if there was, she'd want to know, because she wants to learn how to sign, because her granddaughter is also deaf.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, bringing it back in, we see that Marlene is avoiding Sam, and she actually does a binding spell, pulls out a gold blade, is about to kill Sam because she thinks Sam is actually the banshee. Obviously, we realize they're both hunters searching for the same thing. She reminds us that she was actually the baby whose parents were killed. She became deaf after this, and she's been looking to get revenge since then. And Lillian, who was a hunter at the time, was teaching her the ways, died of cancer, and her father was a part of the Men of Letters, also bringing it back to the Men of Letters. Edward Durbin II, who was inducted in 1939. I mean, I love how they bring back all this stuff, which is why I say, you can always come back. Elena.
100%. And I really feel like Elena needs to come back with Ruth coming back, and they need to try and go for the bunker.
Go for the bunker.
It was never theirs in the first place.
Yeah, no.
It was actually never the Men of Letters in the first place. It was the Queen Witch's lair. Like, if we go back, if we go way, way, way back.
Wow.
Right? When Rowena had the whole...
Coven.
The coven, they got run out by these Men of Letters. I think there's only two left. Winchesters.
I kept hoping there would be a backstory on Rowena and the Coven, and it never came in.
Me too.
So I think it's totally possible for all of that to come back.
I'd love to have a flashback to the whole Coven. That whole moment when the Coven lost the bunker of magical troves and treasures
to the Men of Letters and bring it all back in.
Yeah, and bring it all back together.
Which is totally possible. Mm. They always do that stuff. Bobby comes back, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone just pops back in.
It's the only show you're actually like, I don't mind dying.
Yeah. You might be showing up.
You never know.
Next season.
Yeah.
Or in season 18.
Yeah.
That's a possibility.
Yes, it's going to be. We all thought that it was ending after season 10.
Yeah.
Or season 9 was the end. Then season 10 was the end. Yeah. Now we're back for season 11. There's no way they're stopping.
Well, when they killed me in season 9, they were like, we'll give her a season break and, you know, we'll see what happens. Like, maybe season 11. I was like, psh, season 11.
Yeah.
Well, here we are.
Yeah. They've really got this genre down. And I know I'm obviously not alone with the 11 seasons later, but they really do have it down
to
a science, because there is something to being able to keep this story interesting. And they do such a great job of really showing you the magic that exists in the world. So just when you think they've discovered something, really it just unlocks that you're like, you're a smaller part of the bigger machine. You didn't even realize the story is so much bigger than you realize. You're like, purgatory? Heaven? Hell? What's happening? Where did these people come from? I thought we just had ghouls and goblins, and they always joke about, remember when we were just like fighting vampires? And
Right.
And then we
meet
the darkness.
Now it's all biblical, and it's like Adam and Eve and Cain and this and that, and it just keeps getting
bigger
and bigger and more epic. So,
like the darkness is God's sister.
The darkness.
Mm.
Yeah.
What we think
is God. Mind blown.
Right?
What we think is God, which could technically be.
Who knows?
So Mildred and Miss Eileen, we find out her name actually is Eileen, it's not Marlene, are signing, talking about Sam and Dean and calling dibs. And Sam and Dean actually later have a conversation about which golden girl they like. Dean is all about Blanche.
Of course he is.
Sam is all about Sophia.
Of course he is, too.
Wow. So, I mean...
I kind of thought it makes sense.
Yeah.
She
always has snacks in her purse.
She's always got snacks in her purse.
And mother
she's
complex.
A little feisty.
Yeah.
She's like Ruby. A little pasty. Oh, imagine. I was like, she's just a little pasty. So I think that's what he's really into. No, she's a little pasty. She's got a little attitude. You know, Sophia, so that made sense. Yeah, I was that was actually all kind of...
Yeah. And like you said, the Ruby thing, absolutely.
Right? I think that all works.
That's great.
So...
She's pasty.
She's pasty, so, you know, that's his type.
Mildred asks Dean to sit and watch the sunset and actually has a really nice conversation, super positive, tells him to follow his heart because it leads to a long and happy life. So we know that Mildred was actually going to be the one that was vulnerable. Mm. She doesn't hear the screams. Dean does. Mm. So at that moment when she's saying, follow your heart, we know that Dean's thinking something. Now, is it about his ex, Lisa, or is it about Amara? Mm-hmm. Why is he feeling
vulnerable? I'm going
vulnerable?
For Amara.
I think it's about Amara 100%. Because of the
I think Lisa
connection.
Is like, he's moved on.
Yeah.
Like, I'm over it. I'm good. Like, we had what it was. I get it. Like, we had to do what we had to do. Mm-hmm. It makes total sense.
And now it's all about
and
Amara.
And now it's all about Amara.
And their
because
connection.
Of the quotes.
Connection.
Connection.
She's the shiny new penny.
luckily, Mildred puts her hand on the wall after this demon, Banshee, has thrown Sam aside, has thrown Eileen aside. Mildred pushes the demon into the wall using the binding spell, and Eileen is able to kill her and avenge her parents, even though Sam had already explained, this won't bring you happiness. Killing this isn't going to bring your parents back, but it may make you feel better temporarily. And we come back to Sam signing thank you, which just brings it all back to her teaching him how to do that earlier in the episode, which I loved. And as they're leaving the retirement home, Mildred calls out Dean and says that he's pining for someone.
Mm.
And he doesn't say who it is. We all know it's Amara.
I mean, it'd be really awkward if it was Lisa in the end. And you're like, well, then what's up with... It's a weird kind of triage if it's not Amara.
I think he still feels guilty and vulnerable about Lisa, but the pining is totally for Amara.
Yeah. I think he's guilty and vulnerable about the last 10 years
of his life.
He's like, I've gotten
in
some
general.
People killed. I've killed some people. It's been rough. I've been a demon. I've gone to hell. I've come back, lived in purgatory
he's
for
a
bit.
Damaged.
Like, he's
got some baggage.
He's rough.
Yeah.
You know, like Louis Vuitton, no wheels on it kind of baggage. Heavy to lift. Without a partner.
But it's pretty.
It's so pretty.
It's very
so
pretty. And as Mildred says, they look even better walking away.
Wow.
Right out there.
Wow.
They're so tall.
Yeah.
And wardrobe does such a great job fitting them in clothes. It just make them look fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We always hope for more shirtless scenes, but that doesn't really happen a whole lot.
It's not that kind of show.
I know.
It was.
For a
it
season.
It did a little while.
For a season.
Until they were like, I am not a man meat.
Yeah.
And we're like, are you sure?
Claws in there, no shirtless scenes.
I mean, and in fairness, side note, you know, when you see a shirtless scene, it's not the 4 seconds you saw. It's a full day of being half naked on set. Which
you're
means
right.
you're like a little self-conscious about what you're eating the week before.
Yes.
What you're eating that day. What you're drinking. You know what I mean? It's a real thing. And HD,
HD's real.
It's real. I mean, you know, it's just a thing. I get it.
You get it. Even for the boys.
Absolutely.
I'm
for
still
everyone.
Okay with
are
the
they worse than the girls?
Scenes.
I think it's hard for everyone.
I think it's hard for guys and girls.
Yeah.
100%. I have no problem.
No, gosh.
With
no.
the objectification of men. I'm going to whisper that into the universe.
Yes.
If the universe wants
very
to hear
loudly.
That. Very loudly whisper that into the universe, being like, I'm okay.
The guys are getting old, so they're probably saying, no, they're not.
No, they're really no.
Ladies,
they're not old.
They're not old.
They're really not. I love it. Yeah, well, they're getting old. No, they're not.
They look good.
They still look good.
They have a gym that follows them around everywhere.
Yeah.
A gym.
Yeah, there's a trailer. It's a gym. It follows them everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Which makes sense. You know, if you're working all these hours and you've got to be like...
You want to be
active. I love it. They're sagging a little. Oh, no. Believe me.
They're not.
Love that.
The end of the episode...
Dean is a pimp. I don't think he is.
I think there's... I know. You know what, though? For like as ridiculously beautiful as these two male specimens are, They're really, really, really nice
and down
grounded, down to earth. Just like, wow.
Yeah, they're gracious, wonderful.
You're not from here, are you? Kind of men.
Yeah. No, they're
real, like they're not
they're
in
dudes
their, they're not
too.
In their,
they're like yeah. great guys. Yeah. They're dudes. They're nice. They're family men.
They're not in their head about their looks. They don't. To me,
no.
I've never,
they're funny.
They've never had. Yeah, funny.
Funny.
You don't have to be when you look like that.
Yeah, you don't have to be anything.
I'll be honest. Like some of the stereotypes that exist in our world are just like you look like you don't have to really do anything well.
Yeah,
I'll pay you just to stand there. And we know that exists, but they are really, really cool guys and really funny and charming and charismatic. And you're just like, wow.
And caring and sweet
caring
and
kind
generous. And yeah, no,
very
really.
Generous. I got Under the Red Hood. Jensen gave me and it's one of my favorite animated movies that he did. I didn't even know it was him until I was like, oh my God, that sounds like Jensen.
Oh, really?
And then all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, this is totally starring Jensen. And then I was like, I have to say, I'm also a huge fan of Under the Red Hood.
Okay. Wow.
And then he's like, I have something for you. And then he gave me a signed copy of Under the Red Hood.
Sweet.
And I was like, you win.
Yeah. Oh, that's these are the stories that we want to hear.
I totally went to Team D just because I was like, he gave me stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a dean.
Step up, Jared.
You know. Yeah. A
You're
sister
a
could
girl.
Use a tooth.
I'm a dean
I'm
girl.
Just saying.
It's the lips and the eyes, the hazel greenish eyes.
Either of them.
The fact that he was on General Hospital.
Days
of Our Lives.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Just started the whole thing. I remember my YM magazines from back in the day. He was featured in that.
And oh, my God.
Like,
yes.
Cute.
Yeah. So no, I know. I've been watching them for a long time. Like, not even deliberately, but I've just been watching them for a long time because I did watch Days of Our Lives growing up, mm-hmm. just like everybody else did. And you fall in love with, you know, the hot people on the show instantaneously. Okay. And you didn't watch soap operas growing up?
No.
Wow. Whole other world,
yeah,
and you know what I'm talking about.
Another world.
I mean, another
back
world.
In the day.
Back in the
another
day.
World was
so growing up on soap operas. Kind of gives you a different view of even dating because you assume that there's always a loop and like somebody's twin sister is going to come
yep.
back from somewhere.
Yep. Oh, for sure. But just, I mean, that happens on this show,
and that happens
right,
on this
right.
show.
So this show is kind of like a not as dramatic version of a soap opera, a more
yeah.
real life but supernatural version
yeah.
of.
So well,
yeah.
funny, talking about them walking away. So one event we were at, I don't remember what city it was, but Jensen came around and, you know, gave me a hug on stage and then left. And then Jared came around and gave me a hug. And then as he's walking away, all of a sudden, he was like, hey, you know, big hug, whatever. And then all of a sudden it was like, ksh, 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 ksh. I was like, they just took like 1,000 pictures of your ass.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
No.
Like all you heard was ksh, 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 ksh,
yeah.
ksh, ksh.
Understandably
I
so.
I think they're used to that though. That's probably like there's
it
I just
actually
doesn't
don't
them.
Think so.
No.
Because
okay.
in London, we were in Birmingham and I had gone to the restroom and I was walking back and it was like in the public area. You had to walk through the public area to go to the restroom. And so I was walking back and there was this like long corridor to get to the green room where we were all. And there was this girl like on the floor, like in hysterics, and I was like, oh, poor thing, like maybe her boyfriend just broke up with her, I don't know, whatever. I was like, oh gosh. And
her convention experience is ruined now.
Yeah, right. And her friend was consoling her, and then I was like, oh, okay. And so, you know, a few more paces, like there's another girl on this side, and she's like, and I was like, oh my, oh, her too, gosh.
Wow, everybody got dumped today.
Everyone got dumped today. I was like, this poor thing, another one.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, I was like, oh my gosh, what is, I should hug these people. And I looked in front of me, and Jensen was walking right in front of me. I was walking in his wake.
Oh.
It was like...
Yeah.
And so I laughed. I just chuckled to myself. I was like, this is what
yeah.
just happened. So I walk into the green room, and he's like pouring a glass of wine. And he's like, here. And I was like, do you understand what just happened? He's like, no. I was like, I just walked in your wake. And he was like, what are you talking about? No idea.
Well, I mean, here's a funny little fact about the show. Like when I auditioned for the show, Jensen was directing one of the episodes, so
yes.
he was holding the auditions and he was running behind. And so there's a row of women on either side of this walkway that he's got to go through.
Oh gosh!
And we're all, you know, like these are
professional
actresses,
yes.
grown women, right? Like he walks right through. He's not even thinking. He's like ready to get to work because he's just like, I'm sorry, I kept everybody waiting, and then just walks. And you could just, as I totally know what you're talking about, everyone melted. myself included.
Absolutely.
I had to actually, like, I was all ready to do my audition, and then I had to, like, pep myself back up and be like, you got this. Like, it's just a good-looking guy just walked by you. Ain't nothing about that. You got this. You know what you're doing. Not your first audition. Come on, girl. Relax.
You know what? It's actually probably better that he walked through and you guys all saw him so you can get that out. Then going into the room, having that moment in the room, and it maybe messing with your head a little bit.
Yeah.
Because then you had a moment to actually compose yourself and go.
Which I took.
Okay.
Which I took.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I had to.
What a great story.
That's funny. Yeah.
It was a great audition. I literally, like, I didn't care if I got, it was one of those auditions where I didn't care if I got it. I was just so excited. Like, I took each moment in because I was like, this might be the only time I ever get to see him. So I'm going to just enjoy this and just have fun and do what I do once I've calmed myself down. And then I was really excited to get on the phone and call my girlfriend and be like, you'll never guess who got to talk to Jensen today.
Wow.
Sucker! And I was totally doing the, like, rubbing it in my friend's face because she's just like, no, you didn't. You did not get to talk to Jensen.
Yes,
you got to
stop talk lying. To did I was you like, take a picture?
He, not only did I talk to Jensen, he talked to me. He told me to do the scene totally different.
He gave me notes.
He gave me notes. We technically worked together.
That's so funny.
And that's why you booked the role, though.
And I actually didn't get that role. And then
wait, what?
And he reserved
was,
you.
And that was not the role that I got. I actually didn't end up getting the role.
Do you mind me asking which one it was that
am
you auditioned
for? Am I allowed to say?
Are you allowed
why
to say?
Why not?
I don't know. It was for one of the witches that worked with Rowena.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah. It was one of the worst. And I was so excited to be like, oh my God, I get to work with Rowena. Oh my God, this is so cool. And then.
But he totally brought you. Did he bring you back or production or something?
Well, yeah, I got a call maybe about like a month later, and they were just like, we actually really liked your audition. We just wanted to find something else for you that would be a little bit more of a fit. And so.
And that happens a lot, by
the
way.
That happens a lot.
Yeah, where they're like, we want to kind of save something better for you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. That was her coven, Two Witches, only lasted that one episode.
Yeah, it was just a guest star for the one episode, and they were like, we knew that we wanted to bring your character back. So
blame the Musk. That's funny.
It probably is.
Yeah,
probably is. He should have his own Old Spice commercial.
Yeah,
his scent is just intoxicating.
His scent. I know. Next time I see him, I'm going to be like, I didn't say any of that.
Yeah.
I didn't say any of that stuff. I'm a total professional. I swear to God, I'm not looking at you anyway. I'm fine.
All right. Give me notes.
We're going to quick finish up the end of this episode and give some predictions, and then I want to hear about everything that's going on with you ladies.
Ooh. Okay.
So Sam and Dean are back in the bunker. First off, the beer toss behind him. Sam tosses the beer can behind him, and Dean catches it. I don't know how many times they practiced it, but it was
perfect.
I bet you they just, that's their, they do,
they
right
just
now, right?
do it. It's
probably not even scripted.
They're probably so perfect that they just do this.
Mm-hmm.
Cass is gone. He's looking for Laura in the darkness. They both admit that he seems off. And Sam admits that Lucifer showed him a highlight reel of his biggest failures.
Mm.
So he apologizes to Dean for not looking for him while Dean was in purgatory. Dean says it's forgiven. It's water under the bridge. Just let it go.
But it hurts a little.
Right.
And we're once again reminded that the Banshee goes after the vulnerable. And Dean's like, I don't know. I think it was just me protecting, you know, Mildred. Mm-hmm. He just says that he felt like he should, even though we all know, Dean's vulnerable right now with the darkness.
Yeah.
They both go to bed. Both of them are worried. And then the show ends. And next week we see that Claire's back. Jody Mills is back.
Mm-hmm.
The hunter life basically consumes you. Claire's been hunting, and you basically see monsters everywhere.
Can't wait.
Another,
gonna definitely be a live tweet for that.
You're gonna live tweet?
Yeah, we're all gonna live tweet. Oh. We're all gonna get together. We're gonna live
Perfect.
Tweet it.
So you guys now know they're all gonna live tweet next week. So make sure that you guys.
It's our Wednesday night date.
It is.
Check out the Wednesday night live tweeting happening. Supernatural time, 9 o'clock Pacific time. Claire's back. It doesn't seem like Cass is going to be joining this episode at all, so we're not going to get the Cass-Claire thing. Although you guys totally predicted last week or something the week before that Claire was going to be back, and could this be a problem for Castiel?
Rob walks into a perfume shop and says, I want something that smells like Jensen.
Yes. Don't we all? Don't we all? OJ Jensen. And Jodie Mills is back, which we always enjoy seeing Jodie Mills back on screen with the gentleman. Another monster episode, which is, I feel like, not going to really get us any closer to the darkness, which makes me sad as to what's going on.
They have to let Make It Last.
But they have to keep us going and wanting more, and you guys do that, so
yeah, they're
nice
good
job.
At that.
Do you ladies have any predictions for this season?
And now,
wow. Oh, yeah.
You know what? I can't give my predictions because sometimes I'm really right about them.
Are you really?
I'm one of those people.
And then they're going to be like, she had insider information.
Exactly. And I was like, and I
she
don't
just
have
spoiled
insider information,
all.
But I have my, oh my God, I'd love it if it goes down like that. That would be so cool.
Have
oh
you guys
God.
Filmed all the way to the end of a season or are you?
They wrap in April.
They wrap in April. So, but you're obviously a few episodes ahead and everything, so you're going to be sticking around for a little while.
You know what's really crazy about it, though, is, like a character like myself is, like, because I'm not in every single episode, so I don't get every single script.
Right.
So, when I get my script, I'm kind of like, what do you mean? And when did?
Yeah.
And how did?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
oh,
how are we?
Because you watch the show.
I watch the show, so I'm like, I got to stop doing that. I should just really just go to my scenes and just be like, that's all I want to know.
Right.
But then I can't help it.
Yeah.
Then I can't help.
You want to know what's going on.
But I want to see. And then the fan comes out at me and I go, but I just want to see what happens. So
yeah. So can you send me the back five scripts?
Right.
I just need to find out.
And so there are like chunks of like seriously missing data.
Oh.
Right?
Frustrating.
Right?
Anyhow.
I don't have any predictions.
Just that you'll be back.
That I'll be back?
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling I'm dead. I feel super dead.
I feel super dead.
I feel really dead. Yeah. It's feeling like it's dead.
Okay.
What I would like to have happen, in my opinion, again, the Josie storyline is more interesting to me, and I would like her to come back and help the guys with all of her men of letters experience and knowledge.
Boom.
Just saying.
But see, that's a great prediction because that's totally possible. Josie Sands, right?
Was that my name?
I think so.
Josie Sands.
Josie. Yes, Josie Sands.
That's your name.
However, the writer who wrote my character, Adam Glass, is no longer on the show.
Oh.
So just realistically speaking, now I know all the other writers and they're wonderful, but they just didn't write my character.
But because the Men of Letters just came back in this episode talking about a specific guy, that doesn't mean that you can't return.
Correct.
I'm hoping so.
Fingers crossed.
That's what, as a fan, I would like to see happen. And, like, see you, like, go out again.
You guys...
I do love watching your character. Like, you get some great deaths.
Yes.
Like, great deaths. I think my favorite was when, you were suspended in air for a bit. And, I was like, boom, she killed
it. With the knife.
Yeah, it was great. And even that.
That's an interesting story because a lot of times we can get really technical with the work. And so we shot that scene all day and, Dean's supposed to stab me with the blade and all this. And they had me on this rig and it got so like cumbersome and overly produced in a sense, because when you're on these wires, the cameras are behind me. So it's Jensen's coverage. So you've got like five guys pulling you on the wires up in the air. So you've got the stunt coordinator calling action and you've got this guy coordinating those guys. So it's all this like telephone type thing. And again, it sort of takes you out of it. And so we had shot it a couple of times and I'm consciously like keeping the wires out of Jensen's face because I'm aware that the camera's here and the camera's here.
Oh.
And at one point we cut and Rosie, one of the camera operators, was like, that hurts, right? And I was like, what? He's like, when he stabs you, it hurts? And I was like, oh my God, I forgot to act. Like, I was so concerned with the motion of it I wasn't acting. And I was like, of course. And so we did it again. And Jensen was like, can we just try something? I said, yeah. He's like, take the wires off. Just squat. I'll stab you. Jump up. And that's what we did.
Get out.
Yeah. I started
here.
On an Apple box. And he was like, just squat down. When they call action, I will raise you up. Just raise up. To your tippy toes, and that's how we shot it. Yeah, and we shot
much,
it.
How much easier was that than the whole like production?
They had to use the wires for the wide shot.
Sure.
Like they got it from the wide, and they got it from all angles. So it's necessary, but again, sometimes you just kind of it you take the acting out of it, and it becomes very technical and very cumbersome.
That's Elena. Wise words for you. you could just use that advice for everything. I want to keep it simple.
I want to go back and watch that scene now just because that's so interesting.
Yeah.
I 100% thought that scene was all done on wires.
Yeah.
It was until, like, we did shoot it a couple times with just the Apple box.
Wow. I would never have known that.
Yeah. And he was on wires. So he was on wires for the first half of the day, and they rigged him, and then I was on wires. Which means, just so you guys know, when you're on wires, you're wearing, like, a whole harness underneath your outfit, and you're wearing, like, an outfit underneath your outfit so the harness doesn't, you know, chafe and all this. And so it's not comfortable. The set's hot. You, like, are wearing way too many clothes. You feel like you can't breathe. It's kind of... Your pants are too short.
Right? This is a note for, like, aspiring actors. It's not always glitz and glams. And sometimes you need to learn to just be like, how can I make the best of the situation? Right?
There's, like, three dudes in your trailer putting your stuff on. You're, like, in your underwear. And you're like, okay, so how are your kids, man?
Yeah.
And then after lunch, you got to let it out a little.
Yeah. I was thinner in the morning.
Well, should have shot it then, guys.
Should have shot it then.
Well, let's talk a little bit about you two now that we've actually gotten... Supernatural chit chat.
Somebody agrees. Keep it simple. Best advice ever.
Keep it simple.
I agree.
Thank you.
Elena Hoffman, got any advice?
Now, both of you are from Canada. You're from Ontario and you're from Vancouver.
Yeah.
And you've been here in LA. You've been here in LA for a long time. You were in Dallas for a little while?
Yeah.
And then moved to LA?
I moved Tokyo, Germany, Dallas, LA.
So you were doing modeling first?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I always joke with my team, my people. I'm like, I could, like, spit on Warner Brothers and all of these, you know, studios in my neighborhood, and I cross borders to go to work. I'm always in Vancouver for work.
Really?
And it has nothing to do with the fact that I'm Canadian. Mm-hmm. I get the job just like anyone else would as an American. But I have dual citizenship.
So, oh, okay.
But LA's home. I've actually, this Thanksgiving, I will have lived in both countries equally.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I definitely have a little bit of an identity crisis. I do.
Who am I?
And you have four kids.
Where do I belong?
I have four American kids.
That you don't
kids.
Name weird names because we don't want to... We talked about this earlier.
Yeah. So I have four kids. And, like, you know, growing up, my name's Elena. But I respond to Aliana, Alenia, Alina, whatever. Pause.
Even your name, like, slowed right down. Elena. Is she present? Is she present?
Usually it's just the pause.
Oh, okay.
And then my maiden name is Kalange, and so my husband is John Huffman. So when he wanted to name our kids, like, something interesting, I was like, listen, John. Yeah. No one has ever said or spelled your name wrong. I'm tortured with my name. My Starbucks cups are usually, I take pictures of them. Aluminum.
Oh, wow.
That's fantastic. That's precious.
I'll make a collage one day.
That's fantastic. And you have
Which
to
is
send
funny.
It to
if
them.
You take the A off of the first of my name, everyone can say it. It's the A with the L screws everyone up. If you just look at Lena, everyone's like, yeah, I got it, Lena. My nickname is Lane or Lainey. I thought about using that as a stage name. It's just easier. Lainey, Lena, Lane.
I think people who just want to make mistakes with names will just make mistakes. Like, even if it is John, they'll be like, Joan?
Joan. Mm-hmm.
Is it Joan? And you're like, you're so off. Because, I mean, my name's really simple, Barry. And I call out people who can't spell without realizing it. Because I'm like, oh, like the fruit. And they're like,
B.
B.
Wow.
And I don't think it's that they can't spell. I think it's that you made them think.
100%.
It's like a 100%. I'm on the spot now.
100%.
Jensen Ackles just walked in the room and now I have to think.
Yes. How do you spell that? I'm like,
wait, who am I?
Yeah, so now I just spell it out for them. I just say it and then I spell it. And they're like the fruit? I was like, don't. You eat them. Don't
you
even.
You don't get that. No.
Because you know you didn't know.
Does this happen to you? So I'm 5'9". How tall are you?
5'9".
So when you walk into a room and casting asks you your height, I'm always like, it depends. How tall is the actor?
100%.
5'3". What?
100%.
I have blonde hair, huh?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I totally lose
and
it.
And I ride horses.
Yeah.
And skateboard.
Yeah.
I don't do any of these
Surf.
Things. Yeah.
It's all on your resume.
It's all on my resume.
Because as a tall woman, actually, so I just did a movie for Lifetime where I was the lead. It's called Amber Alert. Little shameless plug.
Oh, I love that.
It'll be on Lifetime.
I'll be watching it.
Yeah, I'm Amber, the detective. And it's about kids, so go figure. But they cast the male lead, my love interest, for me. That never happens as a woman. So they cast a dude who was 6'2". And I was like, yes, thank you. Instead of when you go into a room and they ask you your height, it's because...
Yeah,
the actor is 5'7".
Yeah.
And
they're
that's
like,
the average height, though.
It is. Yeah, we're just tall women.
Mm-hmm.
And then
and
you
Jensen
put heels
and Jared
on.
Are super tall.
Yeah. Jensen and Jared are tall. So in high heels, we still look like women.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with Smallville. You know, all the guys on that show were like 6'2", 6'3", 6'4". So I didn't look, you know, I looked...
No, like normal. I'm making quotes again.
Yeah, normal. Yeah,
100%.
Sometimes
I mean, if I'm standing next to somebody who's like 5'2 and like 100 pounds soaking wet,
yeah.
I look like a giant monster standing next to her.
Yeah, I always feel like a drag queen.
A little bit. And then you put me next to somebody who's like even 5'10 and like averagely built, and you're like, oh my God, you're so
I
like,
look so great. Great.
Right. Look fantastic. I don't know why people think you're so huge. And I was like, it really depends on who you pair me with.
Yeah.
But Nicole Kidman had the same thing too.
Of course.
You know,
Charlize Theron.
Mm-hmm. Like anyone who's tall.
Any tall actress.
Tall actresses are constantly doing
that. And men are not immune to it. I mean, tall guys definitely get like the same. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's hard.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little scary.
Yeah.
I've lost many jobs because of my height. Actually, I had an audition earlier this year and they were like, actresses must be 5'9 or above. Please wear high heels to the audition. I was like,
right?
Yes. A momentous occasion. It's never happened in my life.
Right? Oh, I know. It's like when producers came to town, like the musical, and like every tall... Because I had a friend who... Sarah Cornell, who actually played the lead in the Toronto production. She turned to me once when we were doing a show and she's like, oh, great. When are they ever going to need like a 5'10" blonde girl who can belt?
Well, here's your shot.
There you go.
And they're like holding open call auditions for the producers. And I was like... When are they ever going to need a black girl with big hair and 5'9" who can
belt
something, who knows how to string sentences together sometimes? Yeah,
it's
so
true.
I put it out there too.
It's a thing, you know, and I feel like it's funny because I came from the modeling world where I always felt short. 5'9" is like the entry. 5'8".
I'll do that, right?
Yeah. And then during show season, oh, forget about it. Every girl comes in from, like, all over the world, and I'm like, I'm just a tiny little thing. Because they're, like, 6'3".
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel short in my own family, because I'm the only one who stands under 6 feet.
Wow.
So I feel, like, teeny tiny.
Wow.
So it's very surreal, like, when I've spent a lot of time with my family, and I feel like I'm on a football team, and I'm just like, wow, I'm the quarterback. But, you know what I mean? But then I go out into the real world, and, like, then just get stopped randomly.
You're the
like,
linebacker.
You are so tall.
Yeah.
Can we use you as our linebacker?
Well,
you know, it's back and forth. Like, so really, you kind of got to find it from within.
So
if you want to feel teeny tiny, you got to feel teeny tiny from within. Don't rely on other people.
Don't rely on who.
Tell me what you're working on. I think I saw that you have upcoming No Stranger Than Love, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a comedy. And
Rom-com. I'm a funny black girl. You know, I think we can abbreviate it now like that. I'm the funny black girl in that. There's a group of girls that are...
Was that your character description?
I think so.
funny black girls wanted.
Or funny black girls... Funny girls wanted open ethnicity.
Yeah.
Is probably how it was described. But
we'll hire black girls.
But we'll hire black girls. You could also be Asian. Anywho, this might tip too far. But yeah, that's a romantic comedy starring Alison Brie, and she falls in love with a guy who is literally in a hole, and it's like, well, this is No Stranger Than Love. So it's that kind of movie, and then I'll be going back to Toronto to go and do a play with Soul Pepper Theatre, the Father Comes Home from the Wars.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, trilogy play that's been hitting Broadway and doing really, really well. And so,
and we also talked earlier, but you voice Wonder Woman.
Dun, da, 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 da.
If you did not know.
Yes, if you did not know, she voices Wonder Woman. And tell us a little bit about that.
And she actually is.
I made a motion comic that's based off of Charles Soule's Superman Wonder Woman 52 issue. And it's the first issue, basically, with Superman and Wonder Woman getting together. So they're an actual couple in this universe.
Wow.
Right?
Where's Lois Lane?
Not in this one.
Okay.
Not in this one.
Who's Superman?
This is... Dion Johnstone.
Oh, nice. How
yeah,
fitting.
It yeah, it is. And then I got
I think
two,
it's time
yeah.
for a black Superman.
Right?
Yeah.
But you know what? I was doing all of this research, and there is
There's Black Superman?
There's a whole Black Superman and a whole Black Wonder Woman, and her name is Nubia. She was a character created in 1973.
Cool.
She actually is Wonder Woman, and the whole story comes from George Perez's Wonder Woman, where they were all born out of the clay that Hippolyta, Wonder Woman's mother, made.
Oh my
she made one out of
gosh.
Light clay, and she made one out of dark clay, and they were sisters.
Awesome.
It's a fantastic story.
Oh,
and then
wonderful.
Ares, the god of war, steals one of the Wonder Women's, the Black Wonder Woman, and raises her to do horrible, horrible things. And then later on, her and the other woman come together. And they're
kind of like Wicked?
Kind of like Wicked. Kind of like Wicked.
Hmm. But for superheroes.
But for superheroes. Even better.
Yeah, even better.
That's
kind of
really
like
cool.
They have magic. So now I've kind of been like, oh my God, I really love the story, but I kind of want to really work on Nubia now. So
yeah.
Instead of being like the Wonder Woman, I love the essence of Wonder Woman. I think every woman is Wonder Woman. So I'm on the team, you know, of the new casting of Wonder Woman, because I was just, everyone's like, oh, she's too skinny, she's too this. And I was just like, Wonder Woman's supposed to be 5'2 and like chubby. Wonder Woman's supposed to be 5'10 and like lean. She's supposed to be everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's the energy that she embodies. And so to actually find out that I don't have to be like pretending to be a Black Wonder Woman, that there actually is a Black Wonder Woman, I was like, oh my God.
And it's just Wonder Woman.
And it's just Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
She's not Black Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
She's like, my name's just Nubia, and I am Wonder Woman. And I was like, wow, it's kind of like, I am the First Lady, and I am Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
You're like, it's not weird. It's real. It's happening.
You know, speaking of diversity, I think it's really important. My kids are mixed, and I think when you are watching television, we've been good about being ethnically diverse in television recently, but not truthfully. So I feel like a lot of Black characters on shows are actually not Black. They're mixed.
Mm-hmm.
Or so there's not a representation, or they're not represented as mixed, or they're not, you know what I mean?
It's just normal.
Yeah.
They're
and
not referred to as one color or the other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And same argument can go for equality in gender. Because I feel like when I watch shows, like a lot of CW shows, like The Flash or Legend of Tomorrow, or why can't the president just be a woman? Does it have to be an old white dude?
That's what I love when they brought into, like, kicking it to Star Trek just for a second. When they brought in, like, Janeway, and I was like, oh, my God! It was great.
Yeah, and it's just, you don't even have to change the character name.
No.
Like,
she's still John.
You know what I'm saying? Like, with two N's.
With two N's.
And a G.
And a G.
And an accent. It can just be, and I think we're getting there, and it's actually not necessarily writers or studios. I think it's just a general consciousness and awareness, you know, and it takes, like, my agents are very aware of this. They're like, you know, sometimes I'm reading a script and I'm like, why can't that be a 35-year-old woman instead of, as scripted, the senator is an older male of a certain pale.
It's no longer purposeful writing. It's actually just being written because this is the way the world is now. And it's more of a norm versus, okay, we have to make sure that we include an Asian. We have to make sure that we include a Black girl. We have to make sure that there has to be, like, the white ditzy, you know, like, you doesn't have to be that anymore. And I think that that's, Supernatural and all the CW shows, I love that they do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sci-fi is really good at that, too.
Sci-fi is great at that.
Yes.
Sci-fi and the genre of science fiction is great.
Both of you guys have worked on a lot of sci-fi stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot shoots in Canada, which is funny, but they've got great VisiFX teams up there, and a lot of that work goes up there. But yeah, they've been very good about that forever. Actually, if I have a time to tell a story about Star Trek.
Yes.
Nichelle Nichols, who plays Uhura, she told me this story one night over dinner about their first kiss, which was the first interracial kiss on television, right? And this was back in the day before they had monitors, and so they had only film and the film cameras. And so it was scripted, and they were going to make this big, you know, momentous thing, and it was going to be an interracial kiss. And at the last minute, they got scared. And she told me this story, and I'd love to hear it from Bill Shatner, but that they were like, you know what, let's just shoot as a hug. And then we'll do the kiss. And he said, according to her, he said, let's shoot the kiss first. We'll just get out of the way. And then we'll shoot everything else as the hug. So they shoot the kiss. Perfect take. The next one, and every take after that, he leans in to hug her, and everything, he looks in the camera and crosses his eyes. So the take is completely unusable, and they're forced to use the kiss.
That just got me all emotional.
Love it.
Like, I love that story.
Because what would have happened had they had the option? They may have gotten scared.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
May have. They were already
good. They
totally
were already scared.
But
good
then they locked the doors
that.
And the wedding was happening.
You know? Isn't that cool?
I love
that
story.
It's like really cool to go out for dinner with Nichelle Nichols.
Ladies, I have enjoyed talking to you so much, and I feel like I could literally spend another hour sitting here chatting with you and hearing stories and finding out about what's going on. But we do have to wrap. So if you guys want to find more out about Elena or Lisa, Lisa, where can they find you to talk to you? Instagram, all the things,
you know,
social
what?
Media.
The best place to reach me is just hook me up on my website. It's got a link to everything. LisaBerryLive.com.
Awesome. And Elena?
Instagram, Twitter. I try to Snapchat. I'm figuring it out. At Elena Huffman. All of them.
Awesome. And you guys can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all things social media, at Lindsay Wegner, LYNDSEY. WEGNER, Lisa and Elena, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Come in and join us anytime. I know you all loved having them with us. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.